Valentina from the University of Texas at Dallas on MetaLife, and I have the pleasure to be with Yonatsu. We were talking about your previous work and issues of scales, and now there's this very interesting side of your work, but not only yours. I think all biological artwork have to deal with this idea of performance and performativity on several layers, which are, this is a word that I have found in several of your papers and even exhibition synopsis, is this notion of presence or even actions. It's also related to the staging of your own artwork, because there's a scenography that is embedded in your practice. So how do you approach this notion of performance when it comes to deal with biology?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. I think that everything that is living is performative, inherently performative. Yeah?
Yes.
Because it moves, it changes, it performs over time.
Okay.
So, you know, it's dynamic, and it also interacts constantly with its environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, again, something that is extremely important in what is life, the idea of what is life, the idea of how we define life, but also to negate the idea that this, I guess, this kind of engineering or scientific need to actually make everything compartmentalized and abstract and static. So once you try that, to try and make sense of life, you kind of miss the essence of what is, or the idea of what is life, which is never static, you know, completely interdependent, performing, changing. You know, you can go, if you know, the viewer actually, if we are going to physics, that the viewer actually already by viewing the the life effect. So performativity is extremely important, but also I think beautiful if we are thinking about life that involves life and that involves life. And you know, the ability to experience living and semi-living art. So, again, if we're going back to scale, there are many problems when you try to work with life, scale of life that is not in the scale of human perception. How do you actually show this kind of performativity?
Yeah.
You know, bacteria, cells, they're actually constantly moving, changing, interacting, but in such a small scale that we as humans see them completely static. If we see it all, you know, that's the idea that we cannot see. So how do you actually change this kind of scale into a performative scale? And, you know, there are many attempts to actually take data, whatever data you get from the living material, and try and make all sorts of other things that we human will relate to. So some people call it data translation art, which then, again, from moving images, changing light, etc. And there are some artwork which are more successful and some that are less successful. But also, there, I think, some fundamental problem with that, because, again, what we do as humans, we try to understand life in our scale. So we take whatever is around us and change it to the way that we can experience the way we used to experience things and we want to experience things. And I think a more challenging thing is to actually create an experience that we need to actually change our own scale of perception to get into the scale of those other living forms.
To me, the way I see bio art, and I mean by art as such, but your work as also part of this performance field, if one take, you know, one of the traditional definition given by Richard Schechner, as where he defined performance or actions or as restored behavior, it's because you are putting you are constructing a dispositif, an apparatus, where you are actually restoring a behavior of a living organism. And to me, while hearing you talking about the shifting of our perception of what could be an action, that is something that's very of interest to me, because I would like to understand how you define an action when it is performed by a bacteria or by a living organism.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, let me try and think how to approach that. Maybe the idea is that what we do, and some other artists might do, is to create those kind of, we refer to them also as rituals.
Yeah.
So you create a symbolic action, if you want.
Yeah.
A symbolic performativity. You create a situation which enable actually, again, this kind of symbolic connection between those different kind of life forms.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, a lot of what art and cultural activity did, again, through history, mm-hmm. human history. And try, if you're talking in terms of restore, you know, because mm-hmm. we don't restore the, you know, the environment of the life form or et cetera, but we might in a way restore this kind of reconnection, although I don't want to sound too positive, but restore any, you know, create a situation where this kind of symbolic connection can be, you know, made or unmade or completely not happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. Again.
Yeah. While talking about restoration, I'm talking about you're constructing a frame.
Exactly.
And that's how I understand it.
Yeah. And you know, again, frame is a difficult word as well. But you know that we are very limited by our words as well, especially when we talk about this kind of art, because we are articulating as we go. But yeah, creating a situation, and we do it either by just, you know, putting the life form aestheticized. You know, a techno-scientific body in which the life forms exist in order to create this symbolic connection. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we actually have more kind of actions, such as the ritual of feeding or the ritual of killing that we used to do more in the past. But, you know, other artists take it to other performances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have to finish?
No, I'm fine. Keep talking.
So, in that case, and I think that goes again back to performance art. The artist. But instead of actually then performance art, the focus was the human and the human body. And now focus is, you know, actually other forms of life and how human or the human body relates to them.
Okay, there's this post-anthropocentric view of life.
Yeah.
You also, why I'm very interested in that notion of with the relationship with performance, is because you're borrowing some words from, for example, theater, because you talk about the aesthetics of cruelty, for example, which is something that will speak to people in theater because of Antonin Artaud, who was talking about that.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, manipulation of life is a cruel act, but we do it all the time. I mean, living any life, you know, being alive means on the expense of other forms of life. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, you know, it's a cruel reality. If we want to see it as a cruel reality, or we can package it in a more kind of a psychotic reality.
Mm-hmm.
But people tend to try and avoid this kind of reality, especially currently, by actually mediating this kind of thing through technology. And we talked a lot about that in our Victimless Meat project or Semi-Living Steak project, where in the Victimless Leather, that the idea is that, you know, now that we are using technology to actually abstract the idea that we use in other life forms to survive. So, for example, now we don't go and kill the cow to eat it. We go to the supermarket to get a square-sized steak from a cow. So we feel, you know, so the whole technological apparatus is to, again, to make the mediation between the human and how consume or manipulate life distant.
Yeah.
Still, you know, the reality can be even more cruel when you think about how those cows are being grown and slaughtered in current time compared to ones when we went to use and hunt them. Mm-hmm. So this is, and you can think about the drones as a way to now conduct war. You know, we use a knife. Now we have to, we send in drones. So the theater cruelty is changing in the sense that the technology is giving us the false assumption that we are actually can combat this idea of victims by making technology. But the victims are there, but they're hidden from us. And I think what we're trying to do in some of our performances is actually to bring the victims back there, the front, to actually, you know, bring the blood and guts. Back to the front and say, no, the leather that you're wearing is actually, belongs to a cow. The cell line that I bought from ATCC this through the internet and came to me in a small vial on drugs actually belonged to a mouse. And also, this in vitro meat that I'm now thinking is the solution for killing animals is actually fed by blood taken directly from animals. So I think it is really, really important to actually, as an artist, for me to bring this kind of theater of cruelty back in order to say, look at this world, it's a complete chaos of cruelty, but we kind of hide behind those technological mediation in order to not to see what we are doing.
In contrast of the aesthetics of cruelty, you also talk a lot about the aesthetics of care, which is quite the opposite of
life is also, we care, you know, we care, we there is an affinity, I think, with all life forms because of we all living. So we all share this kind of basic materiality embedded, I don't know, experiences of being a material in the world. We do, as you know, we can sometimes in the name of care, we also do cruel things. And I think this is another side of life, the care, the love, the passion. So it's very important, again, to bring that into the forefront and maybe actually to say that this part is... I don't know how to say, it's not neglected, we still care about certain things, but what we care about sometimes is very, you know, we care only on certain things rather than looking more kind of if in a post-anthropocentric way. So going beyond me or, you know, or my own religion or my own country to my own species to look at more kind of... A deep time to look at life in a more kind of different scales, because you know we are actually in time in history that if we won't care more about the environment around us, we might die. I mean, it's as basic as that. So maybe we do need to really start, and this is a very difficult thing to do, but to start and really care or really understand in a post-anthropocentric sense, completely post-anthropocentric sense. But at the same time that we have to do that, we also, as a society, become extremely, the old world problems of humanity are still persisting, you know.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, very interesting. And in a way, the more the, you know, the doom and gloom of the environment is reaching, the more we try to actually dig ourselves back into those old, old kind of perception of what is human and humanity and human control over nature.
I think we're reaching the end of our conversation. You mentioned earlier your ongoing work with the Biophilia Project in Finland, maybe your next position in the Royal College of Art. So there's one last aesthetics that you've been talking about in your life, which is the aesthetics of disappointment.
This is something we always talk about. Again, when you work with living material, you have those fantasies about what you can do with them and what you know, how you can control and coerce or actually, you know, seduce them to do things that you can bring to the audience to experience. Mm-hmm. And life, is not that easy to control and engineer. And luckily, though, I'm extremely happy that this is the situation. And also, every scientist in a lab will tell you, you know, out of, 100 tries of doing something, 99 won't work, and maybe one will work for a while. So we actually, and there is a lot of hype around new biotechnologies. And what it creates is that people get really optimistic about what this technology can do, or on the other way, they get extremely frightened and scared. Mm-hmm. About what that can do. So you have utopian and dystopian scenarios.
Yeah.
And reality is actually somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually decided to actually celebrate that, to actually bring to the forefront the idea that the reality is somewhere in the middle, and people, won't be extremely won't see the utopian or dystopian view. They'll be disappointed because it will be, oh, it's unclear, it's kind of in the gray area, it's ambivalent. So this started with the pigwin project, where we actually grown really tiny wings-shaped, made out of pig cells. And I won't go into the story of the work, but the galleries actually promoted the show, come and see pigs flying in the gallery. Or maybe even if they didn't use this kind of discourse, that's what people expected when they heard about the pigwin.
Yeah,
we used tissue engineering techniques, the cutting-edge tissue engineering techniques. And then they come in and they see this bioreactor, something that looks like a wing that doesn't move, let alone is not connected to any pig. And for that, we termed the coin aesthetic of disappointment. That is, again, trying to combat the hype, because otherwise artists are also used by marketing devices and by, the neoliberal machine to actually promote this kind of wonder and future scenario, positive future scenarios of technological utopia, and we're far from that. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Yonat, for accepting my invitation.
And me.
I hope we have the opportunity to meet again in Australia if you organize another symposium or something at Symbiotica, maybe.
Excellent. It will be a pleasure to have you.
Good luck in your future project in London and in Finland. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao.